Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santana and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, 3D Printers Create New Safety Threat in Schools. This was posted in the Santana Sun News on August 10, 2026, then updated the same day, written by Alice Driver from The Beam. In April 2025, a group of 7th grade girls at Castile Junior High in Queen Creek saw a boy playing with a knife in class. I showed my buddy my 3D printed switchblade, the boy said, according to the school incident report. He later told administrators that he had printed the switchblade because he was bored after his parents took away his Spotify account. That same month, two similar incidents happened in Scottsdale schools, according to district records. A 5th grader brought a 3D printed butterfly knife, a type of folding pocket knife, to his elementary school campus. 3 days later, at a Scottsdale middle school, a gifted student in the 6th grade was found in possession of a 3D printed item that resembled both a box cutter and a gun, a very small plastic toy knife, and a bag of 3D printed items, according to district records. A student also had a large amount of cash due to selling on campus. Together, the cases reveal an emerging gap in school safety. As 3D printers get cheaper and downloadable printing files are easy to access, kids as young as 10 years old can manufacture objects that look like and can sometimes function as weapons at home and bring them to school. Administrators are left to decide what to call the objects, how to discipline students, and what, if anything, to tell families. In these cases, none of the districts alerted the wider school community. No one was hurt in the Valley incidents reviewed by The Beam, but not because 3D printed objects are unable to cause harm. When experts look at cases like this, they warn that even a blunt polymer knife can be strong enough to thrust into the body of a child, said Frank Grossbich at Safer Schools Together, an organization that provides violence prevention training to schools. Experts say schools need clear policies for a problem that's moving faster than most school safety playbooks. School leaders need to be consistent with their district policies as to how they view 3D weapons as an actual weapon and what disciplinary action and referrals to law enforcement should be made when encountering students with such weapons, said Kenneth Trump, president of National School Safety and Security Services. Our kids are exposed at younger and younger ages to the dark sides of the digital world, he added, and unfortunately to the world of violence and safety risks. A toy or a weapon? Many schools have policies banning weapons on campus. If a student had brought a gun or even a simulated gun onto school grounds, there would have been greater consequences, said Joshua Friedman, Scottsdale Unified Director of Safety and Security. We had a water gun last week or 2 weeks ago, and we had a Nerf gun last week, he told The Beam. We bring the SROs, school resource officers, in, and then we send a letter home to parents that one was identified. Enforcement of such school policies depends if the object is classified as a weapon. While Friedman said the 3D printed weapons incidents were never even brought to our attention last year, he noted that a school safety officer looked over the items at each school to determine how to classify them. The police interviewed parents of both children along with the administrators at the sites, he said. Everybody was interviewed. But these interviews were not included in the incident files provided to The Beam through the public records request. They determined that even though it looked like a butterfly knife and functioned like a butterfly knife, that it would not classify as a weapon because it did not have any other characteristics of a weapon, he said, of the incident involving the 5th grader. Friedman said the student believed he was printing a cool fidget spinner that he could use to flip around and whatever. Joshua Friedman, Scottsdale Unified School District's Director of Safety and Security, displays a 3D printed butterfly knife identified in a school incident during a Zoom interview with The Beam on Monday, November 17, 2025. regarding the object that looked like a box cutter and a gun. Emails obtained through a public records request reveal how the item came to be classified. The item could be classified as a simulated firearm in the SUSD Code of Conduct, but I am going with dangerous items, which includes simulated knives, as that results in a lesser consequence, the principal wrote to the student's parent. Friedman said, I don't think there was anything that he felt that he was printing that was bad. Transparency an issue. SUSD parents were not notified about the 3D printed weapon-like items on its campuses because they're not declared as weapons, Friedman said. Scottsdale Unified Records also included a sparsely populated spreadsheet that did not include school names or the grades of the students involved. Friedman was able to share the students' grade levels, but administrators refused to share the school names. We cannot identify the school names and/or locations due to the potential to expose personally identifiable student information, said the district communications director, Christine Harrington. Scottsdale Police spokeswoman Sergeant Allison Sempsis told The Beam, I can tell you that this is still not a police matter as there is no gun involved. It does not meet the legal definition of what a gun is per ARS statute. Friedman said it was not a weapon, but conceded, I mean, you could scrape down the plastic and make the knife sharper. SUSD administrators suspended the fifth grader for a day and a half and the sixth grader for 2 days. Friedman said the sixth grader was also required to give a PowerPoint presentation to staff on the dangers of 3D printed weapons and write a paper summarizing responses. While school officials in Scottsdale and Chandler identified the 3D printed objects as non-functional or as toys and therefore outside the scope of school weapons policies, TikTok and YouTube tell a different story. Those popular social media apps have countless videos with kids of all ages using a range of 3D printed weapons to cut, slash, and explode things. In How Dangerous Are 3D Printed Weapons? A YouTuber with over 1.6 million subscribers smashes a watermelon with 3D printed brass knuckles. A 3D printed knife is shown in a YouTube Shorts video posted on April 14, 2025, as the knife is pressed into a replica human hand during a demonstration of the weapon's potential impact, the narrator says the blade hit the bone. After taking a few more swings at the watermelon, I can say spiked knuckles are definitely dangerous, the kid says. The video then cuts to him using a 3D printed bayonet to pierce a Diet Coke can and then a lifelike replica of a human hand. Arizona does not have laws that restrict minors from viewing or downloading 3D printer blueprints for knives, box cutters, or guns. Experts say the rise in 3D printed weapon-like items in schools is less about children wanting to arm themselves and has more to do with these printers becoming more accessible. In roughly 10 seconds, anyone can download a blueprint for a butterfly knife or a toy gun from popular online libraries of 3D printable files. Students can also be driven by an interest in engineering, a desire to test what these printers can do, or the belief that a 3D printed knife or fidget spinner looks cool. Another driver is community, said Yannick Villot-Lepage, an associate professor of political science at the Royal Military College of Canada. Online forums and influencer-style content can make printing weapons feel like a fun hobby and give kids a sense of belonging around an interest many adults don't understand or even know about. Friedman said even though the records clearly state the students had an intent to sell, I don't think they had the intent to sell any of the weapons per se. First of all, none of the children thought they were weapons. As for the large amount of cash due to selling on campus, as stated in district records, Friedman said he could not explain why the records stated that. Friedman said that both the administrators involved in the incident are no longer at the school. How other districts reacted. In other parts of the country, districts have treated similar incidents as a community-wide safety issue and communicated accordingly. In 2024, after a student brought a 3D printed knife to Butler Creek Elementary School in Gresham, Oregon, the principal sent a letter to all parents after the incident. Please take this opportunity to remind your children that there are serious consequences for bringing unsafe items to school. Real and look-alike weapons pose a threat to students and staff safety and are strictly prohibited. The letter included information about a school safety tip line available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Butler Creek spokeswoman Christine Andreg said the decision to notify other parents came down to transparency. They wanted to provide information that empowers families. We engage our families as partners to keep kids safe. Transparency helps build trust, she said. Chandler Unified officials told the Castile student's father, but not other families. Chandler Unified Communications Director Stephanie Ingersoll said administrators determined the weapon was not a threat because the student showed that the item was silicone and bendable. The district decided not to share the 3D printed butterfly knife incident with the broader school community because, she added, the educational institution was not disrupted, the incident was contained, there was no social media or posting of the item was not a weapon. Experts caution that students can have social media accounts that neither school officials nor their parents are aware of, accounts best found via a thorough digital assessment. School safety expert Kenneth Trump noted that these instruments may look like toys, but schools should still communicate transparently about these incidents. The community will be aware when incidents occur, so it is best for them to get credible information from the school district versus relying upon social media information and, in most cases, misinformation, he said. The Castile Junior High 7th grader was given an off-campus suspension of 3 days. Schools are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on school safety, but most school weapon detection systems are designed to find metal, not the plastics used in 3D printing. Even when schools say the objects were not printed on school equipment, many Arizona K-12 schools have 3D printers as part of the STEM programs. Friedman insisted that the particular 3D printed weapons found last year in Scottsdale schools were not printed on school computers, but he conceded that that had happened in the past with a shank with a pointed end, similar to what you would find in a jail. There's no real training for teachers at this time, he said. It's like the vapes, you know, Friedman added. As soon as we educate them about what a vape looks like, it looks like a Sharpie next week or a highlighter the week after. Stephen McDonald is the director of Training and Development for Safer Schools Together, an organization that provides professional training for schools throughout North America to help them minimize and manage the risk of student violence. McDonald said schools should use a threat assessment process involving a multidisciplinary team that includes law enforcement, school resource officers, and other district-level security partners to evaluate what a student printed, why they printed it, and whether there are warning signs online. You cannot have an accurate assessment of risk without considering the digital behavior baseline of a subject of concern, he said, adding that students sometimes will leak their intentions in online posts or chats. Safer Schools Together recommends that schools implement anonymous reporting tools that allow students to report threats 24/7 and upload images. That way, if a student sees a threat in a group chat, they can report it without putting themselves at risk. Parents, too, are part of the front line. McDonald noted that it is crucial, no matter the functionality of the printed weapon, to let the parents, caregivers, know, hey, this is still very dangerous. Adults should set rules early around new technology, just as families often do with a first phone, tablet, or laptop. Being aware of what our children are looking up online, being aware of the accounts that they use, being aware of who they're engaging with virtually is probably the best thing we can do. The BEAM is a statewide accountability newsroom from the Howard Center for Investigative Journalism at Arizona State University. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News for Queen Creek and Santan on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Leslie Hunt, your volunteer broadcaster. Continuing on, our next story is entitled, Queen Creek Encourages Students to Enter Constitution Week Contest. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, August 10th, 2026. No author is listed. Queen Creek residents can continue celebrating 250 years of America by participating in the town's Constitution Week contest. The town's art and poetry contest for K-12 students who attend a school within Queen Creek's municipal boundaries. Students are encouraged to submit either an original poem or piece of artwork that depicts the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. To enter, students must fill out an entry form and drop it off by August 31st at the Queen Creek Municipal Services Building, 22358 South Ellsworth Road. The winners will be announced at the September 16th Town Council meeting, and selected entries will be displayed at the Founders Day celebration on September 19th. Local businesses are providing prizes to the top entries. Constitution Week runs September 12th through the 19th. To learn more about the contest, visit www.queenecreekaz.gov/Constitution Week. End of story. Our next article is entitled Santan Charter Preschool Program Debuts in Queen Creek. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, August 8, 2026. No author is listed. Santan Charter School is extending a preschool approach it has used for two decades in Gilbert to its new Signal Butte campus in Queen Creek. The campus, 18979 South Signal Butte Road, is enrolling children in Montessori toddler and primary classrooms that will use love and logic, an approach Santan says it employs from preschool through high school to emphasize relationships, choices, and personal responsibility. Principal Katie Cox said the philosophy is intended to combine supportive relationships with expectations for student behavior. The biggest focus of love and logic is about building relationships, Cox said. From our staff to parents and students, we firmly believe that a strong relationship is the foundation to both social, emotional, and academic success. Santan opened its Gilbert Montessori Preschool 20 years ago. The private preschool operates alongside the charter school's tuition-free programs, and the Signal Butte location will similarly include a private Montessori preschool. Cox said Santan currently is the only preschool in Queen Creek using the love and logic approach. At the school's Gilbert Preschool, Director Cammie Kirby said, love and logic has become part of the broader school culture rather than a program used only to manage classroom behavior. We believe children thrive when they're surrounded by caring relationships paired with clear, consistent expectations, Kirby said. The approach seeks to have adults respond to children's behavior with empathy while allowing children to experience appropriate consequences and take responsibility for decisions. By balancing empathy with accountability, we're helping children build confidence, responsibility, problem-solving skills, and independence that will serve them well beyond the preschool years, Kirby said. Santan also uses the approach with older students at its campuses. The Signal Butte Preschool will incorporate Montessori education, which generally emphasizes hands-on learning, student independence, and activities children can pursue at their own pace within a structured classroom environment. Another program making the move from Gilbert is Music Together, which Santan has offered to its preschool students for 20 years. We've been a Music Together in-school provider for 20 years, giving our students the opportunity to experience joyful, research-based music education as part of their regular school day, Cox said. The Signal Butte campus is part of the Santan Charter School's expansion from Gilbert into Queen Creek. Santan also operates its Power and Wrecker campuses in Gilbert, Power serves 7th through 12th grades, while Recker includes the Montessori Preschool and K through 12 Montessori program, as well as other elementary and secondary programs. The Signal Butte campus includes the private preschool along with gifted mainstream and Montessori programs. The school eventually plans to serve students through 8th grade there. Kirby said relationships with parents have been important to the Gilbert Preschool's growth, with many new families learning about the program from existing families. Our families become our biggest advocates because they feel connected, not just to the school, but to the relationships they've built with our teachers, staff, and one another, she said. For more information, you can go to santancharterschool.com/programs/preschool, or you may call 480-471-5991. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Queen Creek Crackdown Reduces E-Bike Complaints. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, August 10, 2026, and written by Jim Ficus, Tribune contributor. Queen Creek residents' calls about errant e-bike rider behavior have dropped by a third since the town council enacted a four-pronged set of emergency actions in late May. The Queen Creek Police Department compared calls in the first 56 days after the council action to the 56 days preceding it. Overall calls were down to 165 from 250, a 34% drop. Police Chief Randy Bryce reported at the town council meeting August 5th. On May 20th, the town council outlawed the riding of e-bikes and other motorized vehicles in parks, set the e-bike speed limit at 15 miles per hour, empowered police to seize an e-bike if an officer thinks the operator committed a violation that threatened public safety, mandated that e-bike riders use hands-free cell phones, prohibiting e-bikes in parks where there were reports of abusive e-bikers chasing families away seems especially effective, according to police. Calls were down 80% in Mansell Carter Oasis Park, 78% in Desert Mountain Park, 33% in Frontier Family Park. Frontier Family has seen the most calls and complaints, Bryce said. The e-bike crackdown was precipitated by a dramatic increase in residents' calls for service involving juvenile disturbances and other e-bike-related issues. Those complaints rose 94% in the first quarter of this year from the same period in 2025. Other East Valley municipalities have seen similar spikes in rowdy, sometimes violent, e-bike behavior. The data is so promising, Bryce said. In my 34-year career in law enforcement, I have not seen a single act of legislation make so much difference in such a short period of time. Also, anecdotally, the department is hearing that some of out-of-towners who came to Queen Creek for gang-like rideouts are staying home because of the increased enforcement. Town police plan to continue to emphasize a proactive educational approach. It's promoting the voluntary aspect of two-hour e-bike safety classes. E-bike riders and their parents can choose to sign up for the classes, which are mandatory for offending riders and their parents to get back seized e-bikes. Bryce said his department is increasing the engagement aspect of the plan, offering to meet with prospective e-bike buyers and new owners to talk about safety and educate them on e-bikes. I really appreciate the educational process, Mayor Julia Wheatley said. Councilman Jeff Brown added, our mantra was never, don't ride, but ride safely. For more information about Queen Creek's e-bike safety regulations and programs, you can go to queenCreekAZ.gov/government/police-department/safety-education. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Arizona's Fastest Growing Cities Keep Getting Bigger. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, August 11th, 2026, and written by Matt Losham. Drive through Buckeye, Queen Creek, or Goodyear these days, and it's hard to miss the change. New neighborhoods continue to stretch into the desert. Construction crews are busy building homes and roads, and schools and shopping centers are following close behind. What were once open stretches of farmland or underdeveloped desert have become master planned communities filled with families seeking more space and newer homes. The rapid transformation has reshaped not only the landscape but also the daily lives of residents as local governments work to keep pace with growing demands for infrastructure, public safety, parks, and other services. New U.S. Census Bureau data estimates show that growth across Arizona hasn't slowed since the 2020 census. Instead, many of the state's fastest growing communities, particularly on the edges of Metro Phoenix, are continuing to add thousands of new residents every year. The numbers. The latest population estimates, which measure growth through 2025, show Buckeye, Surprise, Goodyear, and Queen Creek among Arizona's biggest gainers over the past 5 years. Phoenix also continued to grow, adding more than 57,000 residents during that time. Buckeye posted one of the state's largest increases, growing by nearly 34,000 residents between 2020 and 2025 to reach an estimated population of 125,445. Surprise added more than 32,000 people during the same period, while Queen Creek welcomed more than 30,000 new residents. Goodyear wasn't far behind, adding just over 29,000 residents per the Census Bureau. Growth wasn't limited to the valley suburbs. Maricopa gained more than 20,000 residents over 5 years, while Marana also recorded a steady increase. Census data shows Phoenix remains Arizona's largest city by a wide margin. The state's capital grew from just over 1.6 million residents in 2020 to an estimated 1.67 million in 2025. The pace of growth also remained strong over the past year alone. Surprise and Goodyear each added roughly 7,700 residents between 2024 and 2025, while Queen Creek and Buckeye welcomed more than 6,500 new residents each. At the same time, Arizona continued attracting new residents from across the country because of its expanding job market, warm climate, and business-friendly economy. Many newcomers have relocated from higher-cost states, bringing with them remote jobs or seeking new employment opportunities in Arizona's expanding technology, manufacturing, and healthcare sectors. The annual estimates come from the U.S. Census Bureau's Population Estimates Program, which tracks population changes between the once-a-decade census. Instead of counting every resident, the Bureau combines information from birth and death records, migration trends, housing construction, occupancy rates, and other administrative data to estimate how communities are growing. The estimates are updated each year and are widely used by local governments, planners, and businesses to anticipate future needs, from road improvements and school constructions to water planning and emergency services. Together, the numbers paint a picture that many Arizonans see every day: more rooftops on the horizon, heavier traffic on once quiet roads, and communities racing to keep pace with the people choosing to call Arizona home. With the continued influx of residents has helped fuel Arizona's economy, it's also intensified conversations about housing affordability, transportation, etc. That's the end of my story for now. Thank you for listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona.